We heard about the lives of Christians in persecuted countries, for example, in Pakistan. How can Christians live their life and continue to witness for Jesus in the face of a lot of hardship and persecution? For those Christians, almost every day they risk their life for their faith in Jesus. Last Friday, our high school fellowship, Alive, watched a very touching movie. The title is I Am Not Ashamed. It is a story of, the main character is a story of Rachel Scott, who was the first student to be shot dead by two fellow students in Columbine, Colorado, in 1999, almost 20 years ago. The story talks about Rachel, who used to be just a nominal Christian, not willing to really commit to the faith. But eventually, she decided to just dedicate her life to witness for Jesus and share his faith among friends. And sometimes she got ridiculed by her friends. And then eventually, on that fateful day when Columbine massacre happened, it turned out that 12 students were shot dead and one teacher. She was the first one to be shot by the gunman. And it happened on the movie that I don't know whether it was the exact word. It says the gunman actually says, "Ha, Rachel, you know, with a gun pointing at her head, and do you still believe in your God?" You know, and the movie recorded that, I do. So he bang, and then she was the first student who was shot. I'm not going to ask you whether if someone points you a gun at your head to say that, are you going to give up Jesus or not? Because I don't know, I don't think that is a fair question to ask anyone. But consider our theme is to make disciples. I wonder how many of us have really take this command, the commission of Jesus to make disciples of all nations seriously. How many of us actually go and make disciples, to share, to make disciples, to tell people, to bring people to be disciples of Jesus among your classmates, among your co-workers? Quite often, the reaction is, I'm afraid, I don't know what to say, or I don't know how people will react when I share about my faith and about Jesus. So these are some of the common barriers. But the bottom line is still, that's Jesus' command. Doesn't matter how you feel, how afraid you are, that is Jesus' commission for you. So today's sermon, I want to draw upon the experience of Peter and John. And may this passage encourage all of us to be bold for Jesus. Peter and John, in this their story here is actually started in Acts 3. That was the time when Peter and John entered into the temple many of us probably remember that story. There was a beggar who was crippled at birth, and then he was begging for alms, people who give monies. And then Peter and John look at him, and he says this famous quote. He says, "Silver or gold, I have none, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, walk, rise up and walk." You know? And then because of that, people were rejoicing, and this powerful witness, and everybody get around Peter and John, and they give a very powerful message. And then that really upset the religious leader, because it was Jesus who was crucified just a few days ago, you know. And they were already testifying of this Jesus resurrected. So they were not happy. So they got Peter and John arrested and put him before the Sanhedrin, that is the highest court, highest religious court of the Jewish people. And they tried to threaten them, you know. So here the passage in verse 13 says, "When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished." First of all, we noticed that Peter and John were unschooled and ordinary people, you know. I'm glad that Jesus chose his disciples, just ordinary people, you know, fishermen, you know. They are not professionals, preachers. They are not Bible scholars. Peter and John are just ordinary people. I think most of us are really ordinary people, you know. They are unschooled. That means they are not like trained as a rabbi, or they are not in theological schools. They are just ordinary people. You and I, ordinary people. But Jesus chose ordinary people and transformed them, you know. In the gospel, the disciples have made a lot of mistakes, you know. They don't really they're amazed at Jesus, but they don't really get it. You know, their mind was not open. But then once the Holy Spirit come upon them, and they kind of, it all makes sense. And they become bold, and they understand God's plan, and they know that God will use them. So they are not ordinary people that God used, you know. And what is their reason, the motive, the power behind their courage? You know, they notice that they are the courage of Peter and John, and they note. So the first one is they note that these men had been with Jesus. So the first source of their power is because these men had been with Jesus. They had followed, they have walked, they have lived together with their master for over 3 years. They were close to Jesus. So for us, this is a lesson that if we need courage, we need to be close to Jesus. We need to spend time at the feet of the master, reading his words, following his teachings, and internalize Jesus in our life. So when Jesus' words and his teachings gets into our hearts, then we are close to Jesus. We are with Jesus. Then Jesus' power will give us courage. You know, the Apostle Paul, even though he is not one of the apostles, but once Jesus transformed his life, the Apostle Paul dedicated his life for Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, "I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Lord, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ." You see, the Apostle Paul is the one that he wants to Jesus more than anything. He is ready to surrender everything as rubbish, but just give me Jesus. You know, this, if we are close to Jesus like that, we will have the power that Jesus gives. So the religious leaders cannot find an excuse to punish the apostles because they just did the good things. How can you punish for them bringing crippled, that is a person who is crippled from birth? And at the end it says this man was 40 years old. You know, for 40 years everybody knows that he cannot walk, and now he's standing beside the apostles. So how can you punish them for doing something like that? So the best they can do is they just threaten them. "You are not allowed to tell about this man Jesus. Cannot mention his name." So in other words, the law, they impose a religious sanction that you cannot evangelize. in our terms, you cannot witness, you cannot evangelize in the name of Jesus. And then we can see that in verse 19, and "But Peter and John replied, 'Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God.'" No. Judge for yourself. It's obvious whether it is right in God's sight to obey men rather than God. Of course we have to obey God. So second source of our boldness is we have to be obedient to God, you know, even to the risk of our personal safety. How many of you is willing to risk your own safety for the name of Jesus? Just because God wants me to, I will do it. But quite often, we worry about what other people would think of me. Often, it's not just we would put our life in danger, but quite often that is we are afraid what people would say or mock me, who ridicule me. And a pastor says, the trouble with so many people is that the voice of their neighbors sounds stronger, louder in their ears than the voice of God. So do we often hear the voice of God, or we are worried about the criticism, the comments either made about me, about ourselves? Many of us know that D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody was started off as a shoemaker, but he eventually becomes a great evangelist. People said the statistic that D.L. Moody preached to over 1 million people in his life. And he have a school, theological school, named after him, Moody Bible College in Chicago. When Moody was young, a Christian mentor, Bali, told him, "Moody, the world had yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him." Because of this statement, Moody was thinking, hey, the world has yet to see what God will do with a man fully consecrated to him. Moody thought about this for a few days. And he says, a man. Bali meant any man. Bali didn't say he had to be educated or brilliant or anything else. He just said, a man. Well, I'm a man. And by the Holy Spirit in me, I'll be that man. And then from then on, Moody dedicated his life to be used by God. And God used him. And that is obedience. That's total obedience to God. So the second source of our boldness is just obey to God. What God said, I obey. What God says, I do. And the next verse. So in verse 20, Peter and John continue. He says, "For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard." The third source of their boldness is because they are confident in the truth. They said, "Whatever we have seen, we have heard, we cannot help but to speak it because they are the truth. We follow this master, this man Jesus. We saw how he died. We have seen him, how he resurrected. We have touched him. We have talked to him. And he ascended in front of our eyes." You know, so all these are truth. We cannot help but to speak it because that's simply the truth. The apostles were not afraid because they have witnessed the truth. And they will continue to witness, give witness for Jesus, even at the risk of death. So today, we live in a very pluralistic society. There are many other voices around us. The recent term to describe our era, the time of us, is now is called post-truth. Have you heard of this term, post-truth? You know. So in other words, there's no absolute truth anymore. We are in the time that anything that people feel and preferred can be their truth. You know, we are live in such an era. But you know what? There is still truth. Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. The Bible testified. And we have to be confident in the gospel records of the words and deeds of Jesus Christ. And if we are totally rely on trust in the biblical account of Jesus, then we have the courage. Our Lord Jesus is unique and supreme. There is none others. Despite all the voices around us, Jesus is still the truth. And Jesus, you see, when you hold on to the Bible truth, you are going to be in confrontation with others. You know, for example, the society may have a different moral standard. Maybe you, people with the Bible would say that, you know, abortion is wrong. Homosexual activity is wrong. Extramarital sexual relationship is wrong. And all this would be against the culture, many, many people. And you would, but we have to, what the apostle says, what we have heard and seen, we cannot help but speak it out. You know, this is what the Bible teaching, and we have no other choices. We cannot make our own preferences. So confidence in the truth give us courage. And then on verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So Peter and John went back to his own people. So this gives us the fourth source of courage. We need a spiritual community to give us courage. You know what? It is important that we stick together. You know, every Sunday when we join here to praise and worship God, it energizes You and energize me. We energize one another. We give encouragement to one another. We support one another. That's why Jesus sent out the mission of his disciples, two by two. We need one another. You are not lone rangers. You are not doing this all by yourself. So don't leave the church. Don't leave the faith community. Don't leave your fellowship just because of, oh, another person say something that you don't like. Don't leave the church. You know, we have to stick together because we need this community to give us courage to support one another. And then they pray. And then when they heard that, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So they pray. We need to pray for courage. When you are afraid, right? You are afraid to witness in front of your classmates, right? I'm sure you are afraid. Then what you should do? Pray for courage. Pray for courage. Notice how they pray. They did not pray God to take away their persecution. They reminded themselves before God that, God, you are sovereign. You are in control. Notice how they prayed. He said, God, you created heaven and earth and the sea and everything that is in it. So God, he reminded God is in control of the entire world. And then he also prayed that, God, you are powerful and mighty in your promises in the Bible. And they quoted Psalm 2. He said, see, in Psalm 2, you said the nations will rise up to rise up against you and your anointed one. You still remember what anointed one means? Anointed one means Christ, Messiah, okay? You see, you already predicted in Psalms 2, hundreds of years ago, that people, nations will rise against you. And see, they crucified your anointed one, Jesus Christ, your servant. You see all this truth. And then he says, it is your power and will have decided beforehand that Jesus have to suffer. So they said that even Jesus suffered, died on the cross, is by your powerful will. So he says, God, you are in control. And of course, God raised Jesus to life again. So they reminded themselves in prayer that God is in control. God is sovereign. You know what? Seeing God is control change everything. Even change the perspective how we face persecution and suffering. You know, so the disciples pray for strength to face suffering and for signs and wonders for the sake of the gospel. The signs and wonders are not just to awe, to amaze people. The signs and wonders they pray is for the sake of the gospel. So the disciples pray for this and ask God to give them courage. And so Jesus' great commission is when we all remember this great commission in Matthew 28. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and teaching them, baptizing them. And then Jesus also promised that, and I will be with you forever. So you see, authority, and then commission, and then the promise. So all this tied together. So make disciples is because of Jesus' authority. King of kings, send us. That's our authority. And the power is, the promise is Jesus with us. He promised to be with us. You see, you really have to do it to experience that. Because if you don't do, you cannot experience this promise of the Holy Spirit of the power of the promise of Jesus with us. So boldness means you just have to do it. You know, you don't have to plan. You know, I'm not saying planning is no good, but ultimately, the source of your courage is you just do it. You know, I still remember at the beginning of this church, BCBC, Reverend John Fung led us to actually knock on doors. You know how scary is knocking on doors? We were looking at the telephone books, every Chinese name, you know. We just took it down, you know, manually. You know, we don't have computer at that time. We were just scanning the telephone book, just pick up every sound Chinese name, you know, the Wongs, the Chan, all these names. And then we go to knock on the doors, you know. But, you know, I was scared. But after a while, when I finished talking to people, I feel energized. I feel joy. That was the, and my life has changed, my transformed. You know, out of this visitation, I tell you that some of the families are still with us. You know, that Danny Chiu, remember? That's the family that we knock on door and visited. You know, Irvin Au, their parents, we knock on doors and then eventually they become the members of the church. And the people who went knock on doors, I saw that their life changed. My life has changed. And other people who went together at that time, one of them is become a pastor later on, Stephen Leung. Stephen Leung become a pastor. Another pastor is David Toh. He was a teacher at that time. Eventually, he became a pastor too. David Toh is retired from Logos Baptist Church in Markham. I have invited David Toh to come to our church at the end of October, I think. So he said, "Oh, he's in Hong Kong now." I said, "Okay, and when you come back to Toronto, come and preach to us." So just do it. That's all I can say. Just practice it. If you don't, you do it, then you can experience it. So make disciples. There's nothing fancy about the meaning. I don't have to exegete this term for you, what it means in Greek or, you know. Make disciples. It's just a matter of whether you do it or not. So if you are afraid, today's scripture tells you, you know, the source is available for you. You know, you are sharing the most important truth for your friend. That's for eternity, for their salvation. And if you don't do it, they will be lost forever. So may all these encourage us to be courageous and live. And miracles may happen. May or may not happen. You know, maybe you'll be ridiculed, but so what? You know, but I can guarantee it, your life and somebody's life will be changed. Okay, so let us pray. Dear Lord, we confess, we declare that you are sovereign and all authority has been given to you. So give us the courage to obey your command and help us to be courageous in sharing your good news with other people, because that is your way of salvation and that is how you want to change this world, is through your church, through your people. Give us the courage and the boldness to live life for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.